Dan and I were looking back, and he was on 5 years ago, almost to the day.
I can't believe it's been 5 years.
And were you brand new then?
No, I wasn't new then. I've been at it for 10 years. I bought a farm. I bought the farm.
I'm so sorry to hear that. It's
yeah. No, I bought a, but I did buy a farm since.
You bought a farm, not the farm, in the sort of
a farm.
In the euphemistic sense. Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks, and Dan Green at Good Bunch Farm in Shelburne.
The farm is, I say it's in Shelburne Falls, but it's actually East Charlemont.
Oh.
I'm like the last, I'm the easternmost property in Charlemont. And we're just 2 miles from the, or actually a little less than that, from the center of Shelburne Falls. Shelburne Falls is really feels like our town and our like immediate community and customer base, but it does certainly extend out further than that.
And what do you do at Good Bunch Farm for those who aren't familiar?
I grow mixed vegetables for farmers markets, my farm stand, and well, restaurants and some like local co-ops like McCusker's and stuff. I say the wholesale portion is a little wonky this year, as you can imagine.
So how have you been coping with the fact that you all that restaurant business or a large portion of it is no longer at the moment?
I'm only just starting up in terms of my harvest. It's been 1 week of really having much for vegetables. So I'm just trying to go more in on retail. We've done more advertising for the farm stand. My girlfriend, Terry, who's my tech guru and social media guru, we have a great website, goodbunchfarm.com, that we're going to have a online store and going to do pickup and pre-order for the farm stand. And I'm still doing the farmers markets as well. And I'm still going to continue to sell to any restaurants that are open and doing takeout, which I think some people are going to, like Blue Rock, Lake House, I think are transitioning that direction. But I'm certain it's going to be a little bit less this year.
I'm curious from your perspective, Dan, from Good Bunch Farm, as a farmer at these farmers markets, I've talked to a couple of consumers who've hit some of the farmers markets and some of the market managers. But from a farmer's perspective, how do they feel and which ones are you at? Like, and how is the flow going in the era of COVID-19 and social distancing, et cetera?
Ashfield went well. I'm on the management team. So it's been a lot of work working with the town and getting all the guidelines correct, which is an added stress to just being a vendor.
Yeah, right.
I've been to a couple other markets and we had an entrance and an exit and we limited the amount of customers coming in. But once you were in, we just sort of allowed for people to social distance and kind of go where they picked and choose because we have kind of a wide open green. We're trying to make it not like a people in marching order, basically.
Yeah.
But we're all trying to, it's like we're going to take it week by week and see what works and what doesn't work. Trying to make it as the good of experience as possible for people and safe.
Tell us about your farm stand that you've opened up.
Yeah, so we opened the farm stand this past week. I'm doing a lot of plant sales now, just stocking it with greens and radishes and the first early vegetables. It's been very busy. Busy for me is like, it's not like the grocery store or anything like that. It's like hardly more than one person here at a time. It's kind of a quiet place. But I've been well trafficked compared to last year already. The demand for local food feels really strong and people want to avoid big venues.
I know personally, I've only purchased asparagus from farm stands that are on the side of the road, you know, pulling over.
Yeah.
The only person there grabbing a couple of bunches and leaving the money in the box, and that's that. So I can imagine the appeal in this time, too, of the ease and the comfort, both.
Yeah.
And plus the fact that you're supporting local farmers and getting fresh, healthy vegetables.
It's been great. I mean, I've felt a lot of support. I think I've had my best week already. Yeah, compared to last year, like any time last year, just first opening week. So, and it helps that we put up a really nice painted sign.
There you go.
On the roof. But.
So here we are, Dan, at the end of May and heading into June. What are the kind of crops that are starting to be harvested as we move into June and then through June?
It's really started with greens from my high tunnel and radishes from the high tunnel. Head lettuce will come next and kale and broccoli and baby turnips and bok choy. Those are probably the next few weeks. People really get bored of that after a while and get excited for the squash and cucumbers and tomatoes. But thankfully with the high tunnel, I can have it a little bit earlier than, you know, a home gardener.
I'm trying to decide whether we should or shouldn't rush this summer. Because I usually don't want to rush the summer because I want to savor it. But now if there's like going to be very little going on, maybe I do want to rush the summer. Get all this over with.
I can't wait for winter.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
I'm just kidding.
Let's not be drastic here.
It snowed here like a week and a half ago. So.
Yeah, practically winter all the time.
I want to know, you know, last time we all talked together as a threesome was 5 years ago. And I am curious, what's it like now to have 13 of your own farm acres? And how does that change how you farm?
Oh, man, everything's at home now, which is kind of amazing. But I'm dealing with an old barn and an old house on top of, you know, renovating the land. So it's been a lot of work. But it feels good to put work into something that I feel pretty secure with. And having rented, you know, you put a lot of work into a piece of ground, but you know you're going to have to leave it someday. Do you actually care if the weeds go to seed? But here I might be like, oh my God, I don't want any weeds to set seed because I'm going to be here forever.
Who owned the farmland forever before you?
A farm family who had been here for at least, I think, 5 generations. They were a dairy farm from at least the mid-19th century. And they were finally ready to move on. And they were really kind enough to work with me to keep it in agriculture. I got a loan from the FSA, which is the Farm Service Agency of the USDA. So it's kind of a long, arduous bureaucratic process, but I don't mean to say that to be down on it. It's a great thing. But for the seller has to be very patient. And they were very patient because they wanted it to be a farm. They really could have sold a lot of that acreage to development, and they didn't. It's really a perfect location. I mean, I'm only 2 miles from Shelburne Falls with 13 acres, 5 of which are tillable. And in this region is kind of rare. I'm not in the middle of nowhere, really. But so I really got lucky. It's kind of a dream come true, actually.
And you didn't even have to buy the farm yet to buy the farm, which is...
Exactly. I mean, all the work might make me do that, but...
Right. Don't work too hard. Dan Green from Good Bunch Farms. We'll call you Shelburne Falls since you're that close.
If you actually put Charlemagne on the GPS, you get lost. It sends you like somewhere else completely.
And Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks. BuyLocalFood.org.